we have 10 verses left in Luke chapter 12. And what I want to cover first is the middle three verses. And Kaufman had some things to say on some things that we've covered in the past, but since he put it again here, I thought it was good to go back over. I'll read the text, and then we'll read what Kaufman stated on this, and then go over a few of these things. But Luke chapter 12, verse 54 is where we'll start. Then Jesus also said to the multitudes, "Whenever you see a cloud rising out of the west, immediately you say, 'A shower is coming,' and so it is. And when you see the south wind blow, you say, 'There will be hot weather,' and there it is. Hypocrites, you can discern the face of the sky and of the earth, but how is it that you do not discern this time?" Okay, Kaufman's comment on this is that Jesus is warning against a lack of perception. Men are much better at reading the signs of the weather and of nature generally than they are at discerning the times spiritually. Of course, this is due to the fact that men apply themselves in one area and not in the other. The implication of Jesus here is that a little diligence would have enabled them to have interpreted the times no less than the signs of the weather. Jesus did not endorse the current methods of predicting rain or hot weather. It was an argument, he says, ad hominem. And I've heard people use that phrase, and I've never really studied or looked into it. But so I'm not real sure exactly what that is. But that's the argument that he was using, ad hominem argument. So in this connection, it is well to inquire, what were the signs of that time? And why were the Israelites so guilty in failing to discern them? And so he lists six. I printed off. I took two out. I thought they were redundant. And well, one was redundant and one I didn't understand, so I took it out. So the first one was the prophetic weeks of Daniel were expiring. Second, the great herald, John the Baptist, that Elijah had come, and that's at the end of Malachi, the last of the Old Testament. Number three, the scepter had departed from Judah, from Genesis 49:10. A sign from heaven had occurred at Jesus' baptism. Number five, it had been revealed to Simeon that Christ would appear in his lifetime, and he was dead, presumably, by the time of the events here. And that was covered in Luke chapter 2. And then, number 6, the Messiah had appeared on the River Jordan, and he had been baptized and identified by John as the Son of God. Okay. There's two of these that I want to kind of talk about a little bit. We've covered one of these, the prophetic weeks of Daniel, from Daniel chapter 9. In fact, there's two verses that I want to look at, or parts of those verses. This is the famous 70 weeks prophecy. Daniel chapter 9, verses 26 and 27. We covered, we briefly looked, but I'm going to say a year or year and a half ago, Paul and Kimberly and the girls were here that time, and I went over that because whatever passage we were working on, Kaufman went extensively into this 70 weeks, and I can't remember even what that was, but basically was the 69th week got us to 27 A.D., which was right at the time when Jesus started his ministry. And so this 70th week was this time. And that's what he's referring to. The prophecy, the 70 prophetic weeks of Daniel were expiring. So we were on the 70th week. And he said they should have known this. And they should have realized this is the time. But just to briefly look at this, there was a 7 weeks and then a 62 weeks. So that got to 69, and I won't go into how he derived that got to 27 AD. We covered that before. I'll have to relook at all that again. But it had to do about rebuilding the wall, and each day is a year. And so the 70 weeks was like 490 years from the time that they, I think, completed the wall is what he did till this time, and that got to 27 AD. It was something like that is what he did. But I'm focusing here on this last week, the last 7 years from 27 AD, and we'll read this passage here. So after the 62 weeks, and so there was 7 week first, so 7 years first, that, and maybe that was rebuilding the wall or something, and then there was 62 weeks, so 62 times 7 years. And then the Messiah shall be cut off, but not for himself. So after these 62 weeks, which is actually after the 69, because there were seven first. So after this 69 weeks, the Messiah will be cut off, but not for himself. So that's obviously referring to he's going to be killed, not for himself. He's going to do it as a sin sacrifice for us. Then verse 27. And the next sentence there. But in the middle of the week, he, the Messiah, shall bring an end to sacrifice and offering. And on the wing of abomination shall be one who makes desolate. Okay, but this in the middle of the week, he shall bring an end to the sacrifice of the offering. So this 70 weeks did not go full 70 weeks. It was 69 and a half. And so what Kaufman said is most everybody says that Jesus' ministry was 3 years. Kaufman said he's confident it was 3.5. A half of 7 years. And so, and this was in the middle of the week he got cut off. So from 27 to 30 A.D., and in the middle of the week, so 3.5 years, he was killed not for himself. He was cut off not for himself, but for the people, for the sins of the world. Okay, any questions on that? And what Kaufman is saying is the evidence was here. They knew about Daniel. They should have done a little more diligence, and maybe they did, and they were ignoring it. Because there were lots of questions. Are you the Messiah? So they were knowing things, but they just didn't want to accept it ultimately, I think, was the problem.
There was a fairly good-sized group of the Jews that were referred to as the Essene.
Okay.
And they were the ones responsible for the Dead Sea Scrolls, which were found for the part of the last century. And they, from the book of Daniel, which Daniel makes it real plain, they were during the Roman Empire, the Jews were the one to come. But the Essenes separated themselves out, and at least a large group of them were over on the east side of the Dead Sea, where the Dead Sea Scrolls were found. And so they separated themselves from the Sadducees and the Pharisees, and they were looking for the Messiah to come. And there's not a whole lot written about the Essenes that I've found, but they knew it was.
They knew. Okay, so they had correctly discerned the time. So there were people that were there, and that's why Jesus is referring to this in mentioning you should be able to discern the time because everything's lining up. And then Kaufman put this group together of things that they should have known. And the second one, since you mentioned the Essenes, that falls into part of this category. The scepter had departed from Judah. Now, unfortunately, Kaufman did not comment any more than this. He gave the reference, Genesis 49:10. We covered this when we went through Genesis, or the last part of Genesis. And I hadn't remembered him saying anything about this, that the scepter had departed from Judah being referring to that. And I didn't know what. And I searched on the internet. I had a hard time finding more about this. And I didn't find anything except from Wayne Jackson, who mother said he's died just a few months ago. But he was out in California, and he wrote, he had a website called The Christian Courier. The Christian Courier. Anyway, that's where I found an article that he wrote. My thought's just a little bit different from what he said. But he had the same thought, that the scepter had departed from Judah, and this was a big thing that they should have noticed. There were all of the kings of Judah were from of the southern kingdom of Judean territory were from the tribe of Judah. All the way through till Zedekiah. And he was, and I didn't relook at that name or write it down, but I think that was the last king of Judea. And it was, that was ended, and he was executed, is what they said, from the Babylonian Empire. So here this was 600 years before 586 AD, 586 BC. And whenever the Babylonians came and destroyed the temple, ransacked and took the Israelites into Babylonian captivity, then he was killed. And that was the last king of Judah. But with the phrasing here of the scepter, I'll just go ahead and read it, Genesis 49:10. The scepter will not depart is what the text says. Genesis 49:10. The scepter shall not depart from Judah, nor a lawgiver from between his feet until Shiloh comes. Shiloh is a synonym, another word for the Messiah. So, the scepter will not depart from Judah until Shiloh comes. So, this is what my thought is, and I wish I couldn't find anywhere, and Kaufman did not say anything in here. That's why I'd never heard about this or never thought about it. I thought I'd missed it and forgot about it. But he didn't say anything about that here. He should have talked about this or here, since I don't know where he extrapolated. But this is what my thought is. Since the key phrase is, the scepter will not depart from Judah until the Messiah comes, even though there was not another Judean king for this 600 years, the scepter still had not departed from Judah because there was not a non-Judean king. They just didn't have a king. They were ruled by these committees, these Essenes, the council, Sanhedrin. There were other groups, the Maccabees. That's how the Israelites were ruled. They did not have a king until Herod. The Roman Empire came into power, and they appointed this non-tribe of Judah king. In fact, he wasn't even a Hebrew. He was Hebrew, but he was an Edomite from the tribe of Esau, a descendant of Esau. The opposite, the other side. and he was their first king from Zedekiah. So what my thought is, since it says the scepter will not depart, well, the scepter did not depart because someone didn't take it away, because there was not another king until the non-Judean king of Herod. And that should have sparked something in their mind, say, hey, for the first time we have a king that's not from the tribe of Judah, so that means the Messiah is going to come. And sure enough, he came right there in his reign, in Herod's reign. That's my thought of what that is. Any comment on that? I would have liked to have had some kind of comment or explanation. But I'm confident that Kaufman has this line of thinking since he listed here the scepter had departed from Judah. That had to be that Herod took away the scepter. Now he was the king. Now, Wayne Jackson said that it was ruled by the committees, and he said, well, the scepter was still with them, because with these committees, because most of these members of these committees were from the tribe of Judah. But my thought is, this is a scepter. You didn't have many of these kings. They only had the one, and it's only the king that holds the scepter. And it did not depart. It was still like holding in Zedekiah's hand. No one else had taken it away until the Roman Empire took it away and handed it to a non-Judean, a tribe of Esau, a descendant of Esau, in King Herod. So I'd never had that thought before. I ran it by Timothy. He didn't like it at all. But I still like it. I think they should have picked up on this, in my view. Okay. Any questions on that? These others were straightforward, and so and commonplace. Nothing real revealing here. But I wanted to cover those two. So we will end there and.